Have you ever wanted to work in a flying ICU? Or maybe you're just passionate about saving lives. Right now you can realize your dream by applying to work for one of the best teams in the air medical industry. Air Methods is currently hiring qualified flight nurses, medics, and mechanics to join our air medical team. Check out our new salary and benefits packages. Visit airmethods.com/careers and apply today. That's airmethods.com/careers.
What is a lighthouse? It is a tower with a bright light at the top, located at an important or dangerous place. The main purpose of a lighthouse is to serve as a navigational aid and to warn of dangerous areas. Welcome to the EMS Lighthouse Project podcast. Illuminating the darkness of current EMS clinical practice with the bright light of science. Here are your hosts, Dr. Jeff Jarvis and Mike Verkest.
Howdy, y'all. This is Dr. Jeff Jarvis, and I want to do a special edition podcast with some really, really encouraging news. I think if you've been following this pod, you know that I am really excited about the results we're seeing from COVID vaccines. We did in-depth dives on the pharmacology and how the mRNA vaccine works, and then we did another in-depth dive on how they've been performing in randomized control trials, so in a highly structured, highly controlled environment. Well, what I want to do today is talk to you about a couple of pieces of research, some new evidence we have, not from randomized control trials, but from the real world, in the wild. So I want to tell you how these things are working across large populations. In other words, really how they're working in the real world. So we will frequently see studies of drugs that perform really well in trials, and then when they hit the real world, they may not perform as well. And there are a couple of reasons for that. In trials, in randomized control trials, you are very selective about who gets enrolled and who doesn't. You're very, very particular about the way that you give the drug and who you give it to. And then once you get into the real world, there are needles going everywhere. Sometimes you mess it up. Sometimes you give it to someone who isn't supposed to have it. Sometimes you don't give it to somebody who is. And I think if any of y'all have been involved in vaccine efforts, you've come across some issues like this. Maybe somebody got a needle and they started pushing the drug in as they were coming out, and maybe some of the vaccine dribbled down somebody's arm. Maybe. Not that that's happened, but maybe. So maybe we've given some of the vaccine when we shouldn't. Maybe we didn't hit it at exactly 21 days or 28 days. Again, real world environment. So three pieces of news from the last week. I'm going to go over these. So let's start with Israel and a letter to the editor. So this was published in The Lancet. And normally I wouldn't talk about a letter to the editor because that's like a brief report. It hasn't really undergone strong peer review. But this is, the name of it is early rate reductions of SARS-CoV-2 infection and COVID-19 in the BNT162B2 vaccine recipients. In other words, the Pfizer vaccine. And who wrote this? Let me give credit to someone with a name I'm going to have to put my glasses on to read. This is Dr. Amit, A-M-A-I-T, Sharon Amit and her colleagues. Well, this was a paper from the single largest medical center in Israel, the Sheba Medical Center. And let me just kind of tell you what this was. This was an observational trial, and what they did is they looked at the employers, the healthcare workers that worked at Sheba, and they would do daily symptom checks on them, and they had ready availability of rapid testing. Results are back in 24 hours. If you have any symptoms at all, you get tested. But they also did really strong contact tracing. So if you had an exposure to a patient who is positive or a colleague who is positive, you get tested. So they had a pretty good data set here. And not all employees got vaccinated, and not all employees got vaccinated at the same time. So observational trial, as time went on, they were comparing those who had vaccine to those who didn't. So it's basically a case control trial. Ultimately, they had over 9,000 employees. And let me just give you the bottom line numbers on what the efficacy was. They're looking at all infection, symptomatic, asymptomatic, everybody lumped together. Bottom line, between 15 and 28 days after immunization, 85% efficacy. So this is showing we're really getting pretty close to what we saw in the randomized control trial. So great, great news. All right, now let's move to the next trial. This is reported in a publication from the CDC. This is called MMWR Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. So if you really want to sound like a complete nerd, talk to people about what you read in this week's MMWR. That is just a surefire sign that you're a complete epi nerd. All right, this is a long title. Let me read you this. This is Interim Estimates of Vaccine Effectiveness of the Pfizer vaccine and the mRNA 1273. That's the Moderna. COVID-19 vaccines in preventing SARS-CoV-2 infection among healthcare workers, first responders, and other essential and frontline workers. 8 U.S. locations, December 2020 to March 2021. That's one hell of a title, and I think that shows you if you're the CDC and it's your publication, you can include as many words in the title as you want to. Lead author on this was Dr. Mark Thompson, and then there are a ton of different epidemiologists. So this is a report on something called the HEROES Recover Study, and it is a multi-center U.S. study. It's a prospective longitudinal study, and basically what happened is the CDC enrolled a bunch of healthcare providers, frontline providers, and then us, first responders, firefighters, police officers, and most importantly, paramedics. I say most importantly because, of course, I'm a paramedic. Now, of this group, there were 8 locations. Phoenix, more than half of the patients responded were from Phoenix. You also had Miami. You had Duluth, Minnesota. You had Temple, Texas. Go Scott and White. You had Portland, Oregon, and Salt Lake City, Utah. About 50% of all people in this were healthcare workers. Another 21% were first responders, and another 24% were essential workers or those other frontline workers. Now, the way this study worked is the CDC identified these people, got written consent that these folks would participate throughout this 3-month period. And it went from December to the middle of March. And what participation means is that the CDC was going to send you text messages, weekly text messages and emails. And if you were participating in a healthcare organization that had an electronic medical record, they would pull notes from there. Here's the neat thing. They would also do weekly testing. So they sent you a great big box of self-testing kits. I think a lot of us are doing these self-testing things now, but they would have you take a swab of your nose, put it into whatever transport medium they would put in, and you would ship it to a central lab where they would then run a PCR test. All right, so everybody is reporting on symptoms once a week and getting tested once a week. So bottom line, what are they looking at? Well, Ultimately, about 75% of all of these folks ultimately got vaccinated. 63% of them got both doses of vaccine. Now, it doesn't mean that the rest of them weren't going to get the second. They just hadn't gotten the second shot by the time the study ended. The majority, 63%, got Pfizer. The rest got Moderna. Of the people who ultimately tested positive, so there's about 5% of all of these folks who tested positive, over 87% of them had some sort of symptoms. Only 13% didn't have any symptoms. Now, those symptoms may have been very, very mild, and a lot of them were only detected once you were positive and the CDC contacted you and said, really, you sure you weren't having any symptoms? So more of these likely would be, from a pragmatic standpoint, considered asymptomatic. Of those who were positive, 23%, or only 23%, I should say, ever saw a doctor at all. So the vast majority just were symptomatic. They tested positive. They stayed home. They didn't need intervention. Two patients, not 2%, but two patients were hospitalized and there were no deaths. So what's the bottom line? 14 days after your second shot, so what we would consider fully immunized, 90% were, there was 90% efficacy against either symptomatic or asymptomatic. So really good. Again, 90% efficacy, real world. This is really good stuff. All right. Last paper I want to talk about, and I saved the best for last. Let me find this here. We're going to go back to Israel and take a look at a nationwide system and see how well the Pfizer vaccine is performing there. This is from the New England Journal of Medicine. The title of the paper is the BNT162B2, the Pfizer vaccine, mRNA COVID-19 vaccine in a nationwide mass vaccination setting. This was Dr. Nal Dagan and about 10 of his colleagues, or her colleagues. All right, so what is this study? This is a study of the largest healthcare system. So the way I understand it is Israel has nationalized healthcare, but not maybe like there is one plan fits all. There are four or five very large HMO-type organizations. At least that's the way I understand it. This is the largest of those. So what they would do is they took their patient populations and they would do a one-to-one match. So as soon as someone got vaccinated, they would match that to another person who had not yet been vaccinated, and they would match them on demographics and clinical variables. So if you had a 24-year-old woman with high blood pressure who got vaccinated, they would measure that or match that to a 24-year-old woman with high blood pressure who did not get vaccinated. So it is a prospective matched case control study. And they're doing that so that they can really try to adjust for some variables that might impact whether you get COVID or not. This was a big study. They had over 500, almost 600,000 patients. So 596,000 patients in both arms. And they calculated efficacy against any positive infection, symptomatic infections, hospitalizations, severe COVID, death, and then the thing I have really, really been waiting for, asymptomatic infection. What did they find? So they report on these numbers for various time periods after vaccination. I'm not going to report on those too damn many numbers. I'm just going to hit the bottom line. Once you're fully vaccinated, how well did these vaccines perform? Well, so for any documented infection, symptomatic or asymptomatic, 92% efficacy, outstanding. Symptomatic infection only, 94% efficacy. Against hospitalizations, 87% efficacy. severe COVID, like you're needing to be intubated, you're on high flow oxygen, 92% efficacy. Now, what is the efficacy against death? Well, they can't calculate it. And they can't calculate it because in order to calculate an efficacy, you have to have at least somebody die in the vaccine group, and they didn't. No deaths in the vaccine group. So we're just going to be very happy that we can't calculate it. You couldn't calculate it because that's a good thing. It really works. And then the last piece here, 90% efficacy against asymptomatic infection. Yeah, the crowd goes wild. I am so excited about that piece of information. All right, guys, bottom line, what is my takeaway from these three additional pieces of information hot off the presses on how well these vaccines are working? Well, sometimes I worry that we won't absolutely match performance that we see in a randomized control trial. In this case, we are. What we saw in the control trial, we are seeing in the wild. These things are really, really effective. So I'm very excited about that. I am incredibly excited that we're seeing such high efficacy against asymptomatic infection. So excited. All right. So bottom line, don't like wearing a mask. Don't like not going to bars. You want to get back on planes. You want to get back on trains. Then take the damn vaccine. It is our key back to normalcy. This is great news. Truly, truly wonderful stuff. Even great performance, even against asymptomatic infection. All right, guys, hot off the presses. Just had to let you know that because I'm so excited about it. I hope y'all are having a great day, and I hope you're getting your vaccination on. Bye, guys.
You've been listening to the EMS Lighthouse Project podcast, a proud member of the FlightBridge Ed podcast family and a Fire Dog production. Visit FlightBridgeEd.com for more information.
The FlightBridge Ed Air and Surface Transport Symposium Series changed the rules for EMS conferences.
Fast 21 Virtual will be no different.
This year's program will take place May 11th and 12th, 2021. And while we all can't get together, believe me when I tell you, we are working hard to make it feel like you are there. Go to FastSymposium.com for more information and to get your Fast Pass now.